Stand by for action.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Punk Till I Die podcast. I don't know, Neil, if this is going to be a new episode or part two of a previous episode or what it's going to be, but
yes, we will luckily make up our minds, I guess.
Yes, well, luckily I'm not at your kitchen table anymore. Not that I don't enjoy being at your kitchen table, because I do. It's its own thing. But I don't have your cat wiping his empty nutsack against my face, which is kind of nice.
Indeed. Well, hey, I'll tell you what, though. He's a friendly cat, isn't he? He's fucking really super is. Friendly. Yeah.
Those cats are so weird. Neil has these weird, they're like Egyptian cats, right? They're sphinx.
Sphinx, yeah. Yep.
So the male is like pink and black, has like black spots, like a cow, like a dairy cow. And the female is like just like all pink. It looks like a baby rat or something. I don't know.
It's, well, she was all tucked up sleeping. She's actually like a white, a little, almost a little bit violet is what they call that color. Mm. And she's teeny, but she's super cute. She's got piercing blue eyes. Henry, the boy's got one green eye and one blue eye, which is why he was so expensive.
They're almost like clear. You can almost like see their internal organs.
that'll be the next thing.
Listen, I heard a rumor of what you might have paid for one of those things, and let me just say, Neil, I'm gonna let you pay for lunch next time we go out.
I can't because I'm all spent up.
There you go.
Because of the cats.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, the thing, what we should have done, we shouldn't have got him fixed. We shouldn't have got his balls deflated. We should have kept him like he was, and then we could have Yeah, we could have studded him out, right? And like, yeah. $5,000 a fucking cat.
Yeah, then he could. But the problem with that is, yeah, you could stud him out, but when you're not studding him out, then he's like jizzing all over you and like pumping up on you.
Well, he could jizz on you. How's that?
I mean, listen, man. He was like face height on the kitchen table. I don't need him thrusting his weird, bald, pink manhood at me.
He's a.
I guess that wouldn't be manhood. I guess it would be tomcat hood or something. I don't know.
He's very. He's got very long legs, so he was right at your face height.
There you go. Yeah. It's very nice. There you go. Nice looking at his deflated little sacks.
Welcome to the Punk Till I Die podcast, everybody.
Yes. I'm trying to think. Yeah. Punk Till I Die 77 at Gmail, Punk Till I Die in the Facebook group. Still lots of fun on there.
Ask us for stickers if you want some stickers. Yep, we'll send them to you for free, you know.
I put up some fresh ones this weekend. I put up a couple at the bottom lounge. I put up a couple more at Reggie's. Reggie's, we are pretty well stickered.
Yeah,
there's not many you can go into without a Punk Till I Die sticker. So where did we leave off, Neil? We left off.
So this is part two of our gigs.
Bouncing Souls, yet, right?
Right. So yeah, the last episode was I covered my Twin Temple gig on the Wednesday. Then I covered my Drowns Day. Drowns Day. I had a full day with those guys on the Thursday.
Yep.
And then I was meeting you guys at Saturday to see Bouncing Souls, and that's where we left off. Mm. So when you talked about your Tossers gig at Tip Top, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. So we met at Cobra Lounge, which is like a pretty cool Chicago. It's at All Rise Brewing, right? It's like their venue / restaurant. We ate over there. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it's where they have Moto Blood every year there. So you've heard me talk about Moto Blood before. And the funny thing was, so you guys were staying in Chinatown like you always do at the Ho Chi Minh Hotel or whatever the fuck
it is. Yeah, we might be done with that, dude. We might be done. We'll see.
Yeah, did you tell everybody about
that? I left my bag in the garage when I got home, if that tells you any indication of how well it went.
Yeah, because didn't you say they had a bed bug trap under the bed?
Yes, they did. I didn't see any actual bed bugs, but you know, when Mark and I stayed over there when I was in town for, what did Mark and I come in for? Oh, Anti-Heroes and Dwarves. Mark got all bit up.
Mm. That's not good.
No. He's like, I guess he has exceptionally sweet and tender skin.
Oh, bed bugs are a bitch, man. They are a fucking bitch. But that doesn't sound like bed bugs, though. That doesn't sound like bed bugs. That sounds like fleas or something.
And you know, and it's one of those things. Scott got them. I don't know if he got them from a hotel or where he got them from, but they're a nightmare. It'll cost you thousands of dollars, yep. And it'll disrupt your life.
I had them in my old apartment in Skokie. The people had to come out like 3 times to get rid of them.
Yeah, and it's horrific. So I'm not really looking to get that. So I threw my bag in the trash can outside. Took all my clothes and marched down to the laundry and threw them all in the dryer and literally came back upstairs without a stitch, you know, cupping my own manhood like a Blink 182 video.
Yeah, and you're making fun of my nudie cat.
Yeah. I'm running upstairs with my hand over my junk, and my wife's like, "Your daughter has a friend over."
Oh God. Oh,
that's it. I'm going to jail.
That's nice.
But that would have been like the sitcom thing, right?
Yeah, that's right. You'd be hiding outside by the dustbin.
So yeah, we may or may not be done with the Chinatown Hotel. I gotta tell you, it's a noisy, stinky neighborhood anyway, and they're right by the fire station, and it's the climate control in there is not great. It's definitely not a modern luxury hotel. But, you know, $100 a night in Chicago, we each get our own tiny little room. It's about as cheap as it gets. So
yeah, you and the bed bugs both. Yeah, exactly. You each get your own room.
Yeah, you get what you pay for. But anyway, so we stayed down there. So we didn't hurry in Saturday because we wanted to check in first. So we checked into the hotel, I don't know, 3, 4 o'clock. And then we jumped on the train. Because, you know, public transportation is so glorious in the city. And
now, did you see any nonsense on the train? Any men masturbating? Murders?
Not that trip, but it was... We'll get into this later, but I got to tell you, I'm pretty down on the city at the moment, man. It really seems to... I don't even think I told you this story after the other night. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So we went down to Cobra Lounge. We had dinner. We met Neil. We had some beers. And then we...
Dude, let me tell this story. You're going way too fast. So, yeah, those guys... So I expected Saturday was going to be a day of them getting in early and us going record shopping.
Bucket
of blood, you know, our regular haunts. But no, they weren't getting in till, what, like 4 or something?
I told you my IRS situation, I really need to be a little... I probably wouldn't have done this trip at all, other than the fact that I already had my tickets paid for, and the hotel was cheap. Yeah. I didn't spend all that much money on it, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
But so I wasn't really looking to do a lot of record shopping.
But so this is... So the gig was... Well, I thought the gig was doors at 7, gig at 8, right? So that's what I thought.
That's what it said on the tickets.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, we'll meet you down at... because it's right down the street from Cobra Lounge. So meet you down at Cobra Lounge to eat at 5. So I drive down there. You guys were taking the train. And normally I beat you guys by about a half hour, and I'm sitting there by myself. So when I pulled in, I was very surprised to see... Well, there was this big burly guy outside, and there's normally a lot of bikers at Cobra Lounge, right? So it's kind of normal. You see a huge, bald-headed guy with a long fucking biker beard just like hanging outside.
I was gonna say, that's not me, but yes.
Yeah, and I'm like, man, I'm giving that guy a wide berth. And then I look again, and it's fucking Scott on his phone outside. Those guys were already there. So we came in, and we shot the shit, and we had some beers. We had like the coolest... We had like Lenny Kravitz as our bartender, didn't we?
Well, I'll revisit this later, because he's like this cool black guy with long hair who never takes his glasses off and is a headbanger.
Yeah, and you say glasses, they were like mirrored shades.
I mean, we had an extended conversation about Uriah Heep.
Yes, you did. Yes. So that about shows where the night was. But we got, it was good. We had some beers and had some food. The food was actually fairly decent.
Yep.
And from there, at about 7, it was probably close to 7 by this time, we walked over.
No, it was later than that, because we got to the venue about 8. Or a little before 8, right?
Okay, yeah, maybe. But man, it was fucking cold on that walk, wasn't it?
Yeah, the wind was
whistling at us. But
so
we get... No, we did get there earlier than that, because remember, we had a drink in the bar side of Bottom Lounge, remember?
Well, yeah, because we couldn't hear that music was coming from the main room. So Bottom Lounge is a huge place, high ceilings. The front room is, at least. The back room's... You know, but there's a huge bar in the front restaurant with pinball machines and stuff. So we're just sitting there drinking. We had no idea that Vic, you say Ruggiero. I thought it was Ruggiero, but Vic somebody from the Slackers was in there playing, like...
Was already playing, yeah.
We don't even know if he played, like, solo, or... It looked to me like he, like, maybe had a one-man band, kind of a drum thing going, or maybe he had a drummer or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so anyway, we were in the front drinking hams, and you guys were drinking...
High Life, I
believe. High Life or something, because we were like, we'll go in at 8, right when the thing starts, right? And, dude, what was the crowd like? So there was lots of guys in... Scally caps, but lots of dudes in fucking lots of bros in like
baseball caps. Yeah, there is a lot of bros there. You know, that's a perfect description. A lot of scally caps, a lot of backwards baseball caps. It was a nice mix of annoying folks.
Yeah, it really was. We'll get more to that in a minute. But anyway, so at 8 o'clock, we're like, because we couldn't hear like a band had started. So we wander in at like 8, expecting Ruggiero, and he was on stage. We were like, oh, look, he's setting up. But he wasn't just setting up, he was tearing down. He'd been on, I guess, for a half hour or some shit. Very odd. I don't know what the deal with that was, but anyway. Okay, the next one. This just frusts my ass. The next fucking nonsense. Tom, who was it? Let everybody know who this was.
It was a local Chicago band that I'd heard of but never heard. They're called Blind Adam and the Federal League.
We knew this was going to go from bad to worse when he comes on stage and he's got a free Palestine shirt on. And the first thing he says is Free Palestine. So from there, it just went from bad to worse. This fucking ridiculous, was it 35 minutes, 40 minutes set?
Yeah, probably.
Probably every virtue signaling thing that anybody could possibly say, this guy was full of it.
It was literally... I just watched the movie Office Space recently. I hadn't seen it for a while. I remember when the manager is lecturing Jennifer Aniston about her
flair.
Flair. Well, 15 pieces of flair is the minimum. This is how you're supposed to express yourself. It's like minimum 2 pieces of virtue signaling between every song.
Yep.
And even whether you agree with them or not, it was just a bit much. And listen, read your audience. It's a room full of backwards baseball cap wearing bros. I think I'm going to start carrying around a map. And when people talk about freeing Palestine, I'm going to say, I'll tell you what, I'll go free them personally if you can point to me on a map. Because it's become one of those things where a lot of people have a lot of opinions about it with very little knowledge of what's really going on.
Right.
And there's plenty of blame to go around on both sides of this issue, but it's just like the thing with Blind Adam, it wasn't musically, it was fine. It was kind of that Bruce Springsteen-y kind of punk, not necessarily my favorite kind of music, but it wasn't bad musically, but it was just so much. He was beating us over the head with his politics and his nonsense.
Yeah, nonsense is right? The correct word. So here's, I made a list of things that annoyed me about him because there was a fucking lot. I didn't want to fucking forget any of them. The first thing, and this isn't just him. This is typical of the, I'd say between 25 to 35 or something like that, a generation, branding anyone that disagrees with them about anything, they're a fascist, right? People can't have different opinions anymore. Yes. People can't have different opinions. If you have a different opinion to him, basically you're a fascist. So it could be about the...
just straight up Nazi.
Could be the Palestinian situation. Could be about the immigrants at the border. Could be, I don't know, the birth control. Could be anything.
Brexit. If you believe in Brexit, you're a Nazi.
Yeah. So we're allowed to have different opinions. I can listen to his opinions without calling him a flaming commie pinko. It's fine. He can have opinions. I can have opinions too. Might be different than yours. Doesn't make me a fucking fascist. It makes that word lose all its meaning when you just say that everything you don't like is fascist, you fucking dickhead. Okay. Second thing. Like you just said, the Palestine issue. It's not black and white. There's a lot of fucking nuance to this. And the fact that he doesn't see nuance, he only sees black and white. I mean, I used to think like that when I was 12, but then I fucking grew up, right? I mean, the Palestine, okay, Hamas, they could stop this tomorrow if they release all the hostages. Just do that. But anyway,
I don't know, Neil. These people have literally been fighting for 2,000 years. You know, people like, let's go back to the 1968 borders. And like, let's go back to the 20 BC borders. You know what I mean? It's just so much. It is a lot. And once again, I am not unilaterally supportive of Israel, but let's not forget that 2 months ago, their children were being raped and murdered
at a music festival. Yeah.
And once again, I understand that's not the whole country of Palestine. That's a few maniacs, but eventually you got to be responsible for your maniacs. You got to take charge of your maniacs. Israel didn't start this thing ultimately. I mean, have they gone too far? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not surrounded by people who want to destroy me.
Again, nuance.
Yes.
Not black and white. The next thing was, he played an Irish song called Galway Bay. How dare you play a fucking Irish song like that if you're not Irish? And have maybe any fucking... And anyway, that happened fucking 120 years ago. Ireland's been at peace for 30 years. Yeah. So why are you still fucking bringing it up, you douchebag?
He probably wants Billy Bragg to be impressed, you know, your hero.
Well, that's exactly what it was like. It was like a low-class Billy Bragg, yeah. And how about this one? So he jumps on every bandwagon, you know, where white people are bad, but he doesn't touch things like last week, Boko Haram kidnapping hundreds of women and children in Nigeria. I didn't see him talking about that. I didn't see him fucking say a Free the Women t-shirt or something like that, or about modern slavery, you know, that's still going on.
Yeah.
But anyway, fuck.
You can't do everything in one show, Neil. No, but the thing, it was, you know, we made a lot of MAGA comments. Well, no, you could trade in your MAGA hat for a blind hat. I didn't see any MAGA hats. I saw a lot of annoying backwards baseball
hats.
I didn't
see any MAGA hats. Yes, yeah, you could trade in your MAGA hat for his Anarchy A hat. Yeah, and there's nothing like an Anarchy A hat, which you have to pay $25 for. I guess he doesn't see the irony because he's blind. I don't know.
There you got to go there, Neil. You got to go there. It was just so much. It was just so much, you know. And it's like the irony of establishing all these sort of radical positions on things, because one of the things that he talked about was like this gender affirming care. There was people there literally collecting stuff to help transsexual people, and all I could think was, yeah, just like they do in Palestine, right? They're real helpful to them. They're real helpful to the transgenders there. Israel's a very liberal nation. They have gay marriage. They allow all this stuff. And what do they do? You know what I mean? It's just this sort of weird.
They'll throw dichotomy. You off a building, baby. Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like let's apply a logic to everything individually. But anyway, all right. So yeah, we were not big fans. Like I said, I didn't hate his music, and he seemed like a nice enough guy. But I didn't think
he was a nice enough guy. I thought he was.
I don't know. I saw him at the bar later. I mean, he just seemed like he was being friendly to his bartender.
So his weird guy with a neckerchief to his right was playing a flying V, which was very odd. I thought his band was just an odd bunch of ragtag people. Just weird. Anyway, me and Scott, and you, I guess, but Scott, I could tell he was.
Scott gets pretty annoyed with some of this stuff. He's yeah. You know, it's like, I mean, these people who are this obnoxious, do they think they're winning you over to their side? I'm sorry, you're pushing people into the waiting arms of the orange man.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's true.
And I mean, at least, you know, when you talk about the Israeli stuff, I mean, the fact of the matter is, you're talking about Biden's policy at this point, not that Trump would do it any different. But so there was a little bit of equal opportunity kind of stuff there, but for the most part, it was just, I mean, America just can't be that bad. We're only 250 years old. We just can't be that bad.
Well, apparently we're to blame for everything in the whole world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, anyway.
But yeah, so that was...
Thank God he wandered off the stage at one point, thank God. Jesus, it was bloody awful.
Well, and he wasn't, like, entirely blind. He's just, like, legally blind. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's, you know, sees good, but he's... I saw him looking at his fingers while he played.
He's looking at his pre-Palestine shirt.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Once again, I even if I agree with you on something, I don't want to be beat over the head with it. And you read your audience.
And if I don't agree with you about something, it doesn't make me a fascist, baby.
It does, Neil. It does. It makes you a fascist. Yeah. So, needless to say, we're probably not. He's probably not going to be playing any of our events anytime soon.
Yeah, let's hope not.
Then.
It wasn't much of a break between set bands, actually, was it? The Bouncing souls.
It was longer than you think, but we were just socializing so much. Yeah.
We were still bitching about Blind Adam.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I think that... I don't know. Their intro song was Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me.
Mm-hmm.
Both nights.
Which was from...
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club, yeah. Simple Minds. What did the guy used to be from Scotland, right? The guy used to be in a punk band.
Was it I think that's the only song I know by them. They might have had a second hit, but that was my
Johnny and the Self Abusers, I believe, was his was his punk band before.
Simple my Minds. Class song, Neil.
Was
Don't
it
you forget about me? Yes.
Oh, how
yes,
how nice. How simple. Touching. Yes,
how simple.
How simple. Yes, indeed, indeed. So then Bouncing Souls came on. Now, they were doing two albums each night, right?
Yep.
Two albums, Saturday, two. So which albums did they do Saturday night, Tom?
So Saturday night, they came right out and played Hopeless Romantic.
Yep.
Which is the goofiest of the four albums they played.
And it's the only one that I know.
How did you... Okay, so you've asked me in the past what Bouncing Souls record I should listen to. There was never a time where I said, listen to Hopeless Romantic. Why did you pick that one?
Well, it turned out... Well, I guess I must have downloaded it years ago. Because when I was looking in my catalog, I actually had it. And then when I played it, I remembered some of the songs and I'd listened to it a bunch of times. And you're right, it is goofy. And some of the lyrics are so bad, they're cringy. Like, what's that one? You're so rad, you... scorch my nads or something.
So
it's
red.
Just embarrassing.
Yeah. What about the one something Monday, Sunday morning didn't get or
didn't get laid?
Another weekend I didn't get laid. Monday morning Ant Brigade.
Yeah.
It's got the great duet. Wish You Well, You Can Go to Hell or something like that. It's called.
Yeah, that's a good. That's one of the best.
Blind Adam's wife came out and helped them sing it.
Well, and Blind Adam came out too, but he didn't know any of the fucking words. So
yeah, well,
it's a shame it wasn't like the Gong Show and they could have put a big hook on and hooked his ass off. That would have been excellent. But okay, so overall thoughts of Bouncing Souls, because I didn't stay for the whole set, believe it or not, everybody. I stayed for the one album that I knew, which they did first.
Probably about 45 minutes or so.
Yeah. The band played great, but what I was surprised by, and Tom told me this is kind of a normal thing, but it seemed to me like there was something the matter with the singer. He was like whispering into the microphone and holding it far from his mouth, and he seemed to be moving in that slow motion. It was very weird. Like there was.
I don't know who the drummer is anymore, but the bass player Brian and the guitar player Pete are awesome. They just go up there and kill it.
Yep.
They're just thrashing around. Greg the singer, I think it's Greg, right? He, and this has been going on for probably better part of 20 years, he goes up there in sort of like a dress shirt and a Scully cap, and he sings like Frank Sinatra.
Well, he I don't know about that, but
from his face, and he just doesn't move much. I don't know if he's afraid to blow out his voice. I don't want to say he's phoning it in because it's not like he's not singing okay, but there's no, he does not sing like a punk rocker.
No, there was
he
no.
He sings more like a crooner or something.
Yeah, I mean, there was no.
And I got to tell you, it's been like that as long as I can remember, but it's a little different.
There was no intensity in his, what he does
no
at all. It was very
him,
weird.
No.
Yeah, and Greg. Greg no is his name.
Minimal banter between songs.
Yeah.
They went up there, played the album, then they, you know, I think at point said, oh, about halfway through, and then they finished it, and then they started the next one, and they played through it, and they left. No encore, no nothing. I like the gold record probably, I do, I like the gold record better than Hopeless Romantic, so I probably enjoyed the second half more.
See, that's weird, though, man.
But they brought out acoustic guitars and accordions, and it's a little more elaborate.
They brought in, for Hopeless Romantic, at the end of their set, they brought in a guy on solo and on acoustic to sing one of the songs. I can't remember which one. He did a really good job, actually.
I think it was Kid.
Yeah, Kid. That's right. I don't know, man. It did seem like he was... I hate to accuse him of it, but it did seem like he was either A, phoning it in, or B, I hate to say this, but it reminded me a little bit of when Jeff Pizzotti from Naked Ray Gun, when he started getting his Parkinson's, and you could tell things were just off when he was singing on stage. like his timing was off and he wasn't moving around very much.
I don't think the timing was an issue, and the singing wasn't even bad. It just doesn't have any forcefulness.
I couldn't even hear him at times. Like, I couldn't even tell that he'd started singing at the beginning.
You see a guy like, I'll make an example, our buddy Bo from Antagonizers ATL. Have you ever seen them live?
I have not, no.
I mean, he's just, now, maybe he's an extreme example, but he's literally just all over the stage, all up in your face. You know, he's kind of got I don't want to say like a routine down, but, you know, he's pointing and he's squatting and he's jumping and, you know, it's just like really engaged. And for whatever reason, and they weren't always like this, but like I said, Greg from the Bouncing Souls, he just doesn't seem that engaged. His timing's okay, his singing's okay, but it's just not, like you said, the forcefulness you sort of want from a punk rock frontman, you know what I mean?
I know kind of what it reminded me of now. When I went to see the Specials on the last tour, Terry Hall, it looked like the singer did not want to be there. He looked like he could have cared less about any of it, and he just wanted it to be over. And that was a little bit of kind of what this reminded me of.
I don't think it's that extreme. I mean, I don't know. Listen, man,
you've seen him more than I have, so they might be completely normal.
This is the new normal. Has been for, like I said, at least 15 years. They don't get in a van and tour anymore. They just don't. You know, they're doing these multiple weekend things. They're probably doing, I don't know, 10, 12 shows this year. All these like long weekend things. They must make pretty good money doing it, I assume. The tickets were not cheap for this.
Were $50, which I thought was
$40 in fees. So it was $50.
Which I thought was a lot of money for what the fuck it was, you know. Because, I mean, if it was like three bands on the bill you wanted to see, them and Swingin' Udders and somebody else, I could see $50, but not for fucking this and Blind
Adam. Not for Blind Adam. Blind Adam and Acoustic Guy that we missed.
Yeah, I would have thrown him a fucking quarter and told him to get the fuck off the stage. So I left. I will tell you what. I left after the first set of Hopeless Romantic, and you said they played the Gold Record next, and that was better.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just prefer that record.
Did people leave, or did a lot of people stay for the whole thing?
It might have been thinned out a little bit
because it was packed.
Sold out. It was sold out. Yeah. Saturday was sold out. I didn't hear about Sunday, but it was full Sunday too.
This was 800 people. Yeah. So 800 people. So, you know, and it was uncomfortably full in there, I thought.
So after we got done, we're like, well, let's go back to Reggie's and have a nightcap up on the...
Hold on one second, I'm not quite done yet. So talking about the crowd, a lot of bros in backwards baseball caps.
More women than usual at a punk show, I would say, which is nice.
Two things that annoyed me. Of course, where would we be if they
two things other me? Than the 10 you've already mentioned? Yes.
So 800 people could turn out to spend $50 on Bouncing Souls.
Yep.
But the Drowns or any new punk band playing Chicago might expect to get 30 people. So have punks become the most blinkered, lazy bunch of people in the fucking world that they won't go out to shows other than to bands they've known for 30 years?
I think there's some of that. It's a lot of that, I guess. It's hard. You know, most of the people at the Bouncing Souls show were probably a little younger than me. I would say the average age is probably like 45, right?
Yeah, I'd say about that, yeah.
So, the Bouncing Souls hit you at a certain age. Yeah, I don't know. As far as why people aren't out to see the Drowns, that's just a crime, you know?
But I mean, it's also other shows in the city I've been to, newer bands and stuff, where they might, you know, the Bottom Lounge or whatever, you know, again, they might draw 20, 30 people. And it's like, where are all these fucking punk rockers who are going to see Bouncing Souls? Where are they the rest of the time?
They only go see the bands they listen to. They were teenagers.
On my way out, I went to the bathroom in the other place, because the bathroom in the venue it was too crowded to get to it. So I went in the one on the bar side as I was on my way out. Yeah. And there was one urinal, which is stupid, but there was like four people in line, you know, who'd been at the show, and they're all complaining about, oh yes, us old punk rockers, blah blah, it's so difficult, and they were probably 20 years younger than me. It was like I don't want to fucking hear it from you guys.
We were talking about that before. I mean, we might have talked about it in the first half of this episode or whatever, where we talked about these 30-year-olds talking about how they can't, you know, have to be to work at 8 o'clock or whatever. I just want to punch them right in their faces, man.
Yeah. That just fucking frosted my ass.
You'll hear the end of my story, my four shows in a row that ended on a Monday night. But
I'm sorry. So I left after the first show and I drove home. So then Tom and Scott stayed, obviously, and you stayed for the gold record. And then I thought maybe you were going to go bar hopping around there because that's a...
It's an okay neighborhood, really, but
it's... Yeah, it's kind of... It verges on dodgy in some parts there under the tracks.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, especially later at night. So I think you were good getting out of there.
It was cold, like you said, with the wind. So we just... went back, jumped on the train, went to Reggie's. We love Reggie's, you know.
Any Reggie's on the train? Oh, you know what? You know what? We should play.
Hold up a minute. I'm going to play a song here in a minute.
Okay.
So we go back to Reggie's, and I knew Flatfoot 56 was playing in the rock club.
So you thought you were just going to go to the other side and get a drink or something?
We were probably just going to go up on the roof or whatever and get a drink, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I look in there, and who do I see standing there, Neil, inside the venue? But my Southside buddies.
Oh, your two big Irish
Mike
buddies.
Mike and Jeff. Yeah, Big Jeff and Crazy Mike. So I'm like, hey, dude, come on. I said, this guy. So I open the door, and I walk in, and people are going through the line showing their wristband. The guy's like, you got a wristband? I'm like, I just saw some friend of mine in here. You mind if I go talk to him? And he's like, nah, go ahead. And Scott just kind of follows right behind me. And
he was probably frightened of Scott.
We got right in there, and so to put it in perspective, Flatfoot 56 almost always ends their show with I'll Fly Away, the old American Standard hymn kind of song. So we walk in just as they're about to start that, so we grab a couple beers, and we're watching that, and then they do like a two-song encore, and we hang out with Mike and Jeff, and with the great thing about the rock club at Reggie's, when you walk out, they're always trying to hand you a coupon. Take that coupon, kids. It's good for $1 PBR tall boy or $1 well drink next door.
Oh, shit. So
even though we didn't really need it at that point, we grabbed that and we went next door and had a beer with those guys. And they were going to be at the Bouncing Socials the next day. So we actually had a pretty fun nightcap. It was good to run into those dudes. We always have fun. I know they're a little dodgy, but they're good dudes. Fun guys.
So how crowded was it at Flatfoot 56? Was it packed?
Pretty crowded again. Yeah. I don't know if it sold out, but it was pretty packed, even at the end when we got there.
Okay.
But yeah, that was a good time, too. Tsunami Bomb opened. I know there was a couple of... like, there was decent shows in town all weekend. Multiple decent shows.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had a really good time. We went back, and then the bummer was we were so late. I think it was like 2:30 or something. When we finally got back, our Three Happiness was closed. We couldn't get our egg rolls.
Oh, no.
And a bottle of water. A bottle of water would have helped, man. Chinatown, they don't even give you, like, the Chinatown Hotel, they don't even give you, like, those little cheesy cups to drink their awful tap water. It's nothing, dude. This is so bare bones. You're lucky if you got toilet paper.
You have to share the toilet paper with the bedbugs.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm going to play a Flatfoot 56 song. I'm going to play Knuckles Up.
We haven't played a Bouncing Souls song yet.
No, we'll play that next because we're going to Bouncing Souls tomorrow, too, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I forgot about that. Well, tell you
Trust
what.
Trust me, buddy. I know what I'm doing.
Well, tell you what. Tell you what. We're going to play a twosome here. I'm going to play my favorite Bouncing Souls song from Hopeless Romantic, which is 87.
Okay.
And then, so we'll play Bouncing Souls 87, and then we'll play Flatfoot 56, Knuckles Up. Now, is this one of their best? You said they played this in their encore, right?
I don't know. I just like the song.
Oh,
I
remember okay.
Playing their encore. I had about 15 tall boys in me by that point.
I bet you had some tall boys in you. Slut.
All right. Mean, that we will talk about that train ride later if you want.
Yeah, definitely. I want to hear about that. So, first Bouncing Souls with 87 off of Hopeless Romantic, and then right into Flatfoot 56, Knuckles Up.
Except for the perfect night when music's playing and it's sounds just right. It gets inside and it helps you be all that you want. You are those times that we are hope would last. It seems that they've gone by so fast. I woke up one day and I was 25 in a hell of a hangover. Something that didn't sense why.
Two for Tuesday. Well, two for Thursday there. Bouncing Souls, 87. Flatfoot 56. Knuckles Up. there you go. So, yes, tell me about the train ride, Tom. I'm assuming something interesting happened.
Well, so I don't remember which train ride this was, actually, but the next day, we met up with you and our pal Dr. Disc.
You did, up in Skokie at Village Inn.
We have a place we always go. Yeah, it's a Village Inn in Skokie. And there's parking there. It doesn't have a lot of big city inconveniences. So we drove up there, and you and Dr. Disc were already there. And we've eaten there, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Always had a real good experience. This time, the service was terrible.
Terrible.
And it was just I don't know what was going on. But anyway, the food was fine, everything else. And we exchanged a bunch of records. Dr. Disc always gives us records. I gave you guys some of the stuff, my booty from that other collection that I inherited. And it was a good time, man. It was like a freaking swap meet in there, you know, just records changing hands. And
it was. Yeah.
And we had a really good time.
Good couple of hours, yep.
Catching up. You know, it's funny, Neil. When I think about this weekend, the music was fine. But I really enjoyed the fellowship more than the music. I had a good time catching up with everybody. It was nice, you know. It was nice to see everybody, and so including my Southside boys and you and Dr. Disc and you know, Scott needed a little time away. He's had a lot of stress at work and stuff. So it was really good in that regard. Like I said, the music, yeah, it was fine, but it wasn't life altering.
Right, you know? Bouncing Souls were at least the bit I saw. They were fine. It wasn't like the best gig I've ever seen or anything.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we went over and had lunch with those guys. We sat there for hours, honestly, just BSing and having a good time. And we had to go back to the city. Well, the highway is of course already starting construction, so it's just stopped all the way back. So we actually took Lakeshore back.
Good idea, actually. Lakeshore's probably one of the best ways.
By the time we got back, it was like, well, we better think about getting dinner and getting back over there. Time had sprung forward. We lost an hour, you know?
Oh, yeah, that was right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's how you know you're out late, when the clock changes while you're still awake, right?
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Exactly. So we get back, and it's like, I look at the tickets. It's an hour earlier on Sunday.
Oh, so it did start at 7.
It was like, oh, shit. So we had to decide, well, you want to try to grab some quick dinner. So we actually ran up on the roof at Reggie's. Ironically, there was a Grand Rapids band playing downstairs. But it's one of the bands that contains one of the women that made sure that Teenage Bottle Rock can't play in Grand Rapids. So.
Oh, was it City Mouse was playing?
No. It's a local band here.
Oh, fuck. Fuck them, then.
Anyway, pretty much. I mean, I would have, one of my buddies was playing bass for him. I wouldn't have mind stuck my head in there and saying hello, but I didn't get a chance. So we went up and they had dinner. We got our dinner really quick. We ate and had a couple beers and got on the train. But we got back over there. We totally missed. Not only did we miss Vic, we totally missed the Smoking Popes.
Oh, that sucks. Okay.
Which I was a little bummed out about. I've never seen the Smoking Popes. I know they're kind of a Chicago area.
Mm-hmm. Legends,
favorite,
yeah.
And I would have liked to, you know, even just see 50 minutes of it, but yeah, we totally missed them, so we blew it. We just bad time management, and but we got right to it and started sucking down the Miller High Lifes and watched the first album they played on Saturday was the How I Spent My Summer, or on Sunday rather, was How I Spent My Summer Vacation, which I don't know how everybody else feels, but this is by far my favorite Bouncing Souls album. Number two is, I don't know what number two is, but it's quite far down the line. So that was really good, you know, so we really enjoyed that. Like I said, the Southside boys were there. We hung out with them a little. They showed up right at the same time we did, late. And then they played the entire Anchors Away album, which is pretty good too. And then I think they played a one song encore, but I did not recognize the song. Trying to think what they had for Bells and Whistles on that night. They said they no, that was the Gold album. They had the accordion and all that. I don't know. It was good. I mean, we enjoyed it, but once again, much like Saturday night, it was good. It was solid. There was nothing wrong with it, but it wasn't like transcendent, you know? It wasn't like, wow, what a performance. I feel a little bad for Pete and Brian, the guitar player and the bass player, because they really do play their asses off.
Right.
Like, those guys really work. And Brian sings, you know, some of the songs. So.
Yeah, I mean, at one point, they brought up a little kid on stage to play one of the songs.
Oh, that's right.
That was weird as fuck. That was 100% unnecessary.
Yeah, that's right. They had a little kid come up and play. I don't remember which song it was. was something for Hopeless Romantic, wasn't it?
Yeah, was it Rad? You're Rad or whatever? You're So Rad? Was it that one?
Was that what it was? No, I don't remember that one. I don't remember what one was either.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, we did that, and yeah, we hung out afterwards with the Southside guys and had a couple more beers in the bar, and then we eventually we actually did go back to Reggie's. You know the funny thing about Reggie's? We went there for dinner, right, on Sunday. Who should be up there at the upstairs bar, Neil? The super cool black dude from Cobra Lounge.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking great.
That's of course. And we were just bullshit with him. And he was trying to... We talked about... This time we had a long conversation about Black Sabbath. So that was real cool, actually. And then we went back up there. I can't remember if he was bartending when we got back or not. We went over there and had one or... I think we just had one and said, forget it. We were tired. You know, we were getting pretty beat up at that point. But before we leave the Chicago conversation... My overall impressions of the city. The city has a lot of struggles. There's a lot of homeless, obviously, and now they have a lot of
migrants.
I don't know if it's migrants or just homeless or drug addicts or what it is. But you know, sometimes you go to Chicago and you have a bad experience. You know, a couple times ago we were downtown. And there was a dude just jerking off out in public, like in the restroom right at downtown, and just you know, it's just obviously there's a lot of problems. Problem people have problems, and I left with a bad impression. And then the next time I drove up to your place and I drove up Lakeshore Drive, and I'm like, man, it's so nice here. You know, you're right on the lake. You got all the museums and stuff, and you really get a different view of the city. But when we were driving back, from Skokie, and we went down Lakeshore Drive, I can't help but notice that there's a lot of campers.
Tent City.
Even in the nicer parks.
Yep.
And the fact of the matter is, cities like that thrive on tourist dollars, and people are not going to bring their families to the museums and to the Navy Pier if there's this army of homeless zombies, drug-addled zombies all over the place. While I do take sympathy on these people, I don't think we need to be cruel to anyone. I think you gotta... I don't know, Neil. My best solution is Soylent Green. But I don't think I'd want to eat most of these people. They look real dirty.
Well, one of the other things too, Tom, that you've missed, but in the middle of the summer, oftentimes gangs of kids from the South Side come up and hang out on Michigan Avenue and go wilding and stuff and like break into stores and just
smashing guys and stuff.
And just attack tourists. So that is that. And of course, the mayor never, because the mayor is super fucking liberal, he's a dickhead, he never does anything about it. He says, oh, it's not their fault, blah, 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 blah. So the police aren't allowed to do a fucking thing. In fact, I'd like to talk to our buddy about that and see what he says.
The fact of the matter is, Chicago's been a sanctuary city, but hasn't the mayor publicly said we can't take anymore? Or is he just behind closed doors saying that?
I think he's behind closed doors saying that.
It's you know, listen, man, we are a wealthy country, and we are a country of immigrants, but you gotta have some kind of controls on this. I'm very, very pro-immigration. As the baby boomers retire, we're going to need a lot more immigration, but it's got to be controlled.
Hey, I can speak to it. I'm a fucking immigrant, but I did it lawfully. I came in the right way, and I fucking took the tests, and I pay, you know. But see, when I did it, I had to have a sponsor, you know. People had to, you know, all that kind of shit. It took me years.
They thought you were in the IRA or something.
That was banging too many chicks.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's like I liken it to, you know, I've been very fortunate in my life, and there's been times where I've had people who weren't in my family staying with me because they had a situation. I had a niece that stayed with me for a real extended period of time. One of my son's buddies got kicked out of his house, and I'm more than happy to help, but I can't just leave my doors open for every single person to come in and raid my refrigerator and sleep in my bed. So anyway, I don't want to be cruel to immigrants. I love immigrants. I do miss the idea that we were raised with, which is the idea of the melting pot, which is coming here and becoming an American and trying to contribute. Not to sound like a, you know, raving lunatic, but that used to be a thing, and it worked pretty well for many generations.
Of course it did. Of course it did, yeah. But hold on a second. Get back to... I thought there was going to be some kind of train disaster that you guys had.
The one train... The trains are always a disaster.
They are because people just travel around. People basically live on the L.
Well, my favorite game to play is Bluetooth or Insane. When you see someone talking, just like sitting there
talking to themselves. Yep.
But there was definitely a couple of. I'm gonna blame the Doc Rotten guys for this. They had to be ladyboys on our train because no women would actually dress like this. They're just like 80s like prostitutes, you know, with like fishnet. And I think they were Latino men, if I had to guess, or I don't know, transgenders or whatever. And it was all fine and good. They were on their side. That was the other. Until I made awkward extra long eye contact, it was all good. But there was definitely it's great people watching, and I never felt intimidated or anything. I never tried to make them feel intimidated, but there's definitely a lot of great people watching.
Well, here's the thing, Tom. Also about that. Yeah, you're not intimidated, but you're a big burly dude. I mean,
You're not bringing your family on the train.
If you were a single girl,
yeah,
it is fucking intimidating.
I do see single travelers and single women on there, and I gotta say, my daughter was seriously considering going to college at not Columbia. What's the other? Roosevelt. Roosevelt, right on Lake Michigan.
Holy shit, Roosevelt? Okay.
Yeah, she was, and matter of fact, they were really ready to go. Her and her best friend were going to go there. Her best friend's dad basically paid her off to not go there. And they
That's a good decision, I think.
They ended up going locally here instead. Well, it would have been a great adventure for Alex. But that being said, yeah, the thought of her, you know, my little five foot two daughter riding in these trains with these, you know, homicidal maniacs was a little...
Lydia does it, and then she yells at me for being worried about her. And I'm like, kid, you think you're much tougher than you actually are.
Yeah.
If one of these fucking dickheads decided to go postal on you, you...
You know, it's funny when you... I talk about these, like, homeless, drug-addled homeless people. Because in general, yes, I'm not really afraid of them in the sense of if we were to square off, I would probably just knock any of them out. But... desperate people are dangerous. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. They got nothing to lose.
You don't know what they're going to do. And yeah. We had a situation on the way home Sunday from Reggie's. This older black guy starts walking with us, following us. And he is speaking 100% incoherently.
Gibberish. Yeah.
There was three words we could understand. One was kill. One was the N-word. And the other one was motherfucker. And we're just like, and he was following us for like blocks. And at one point he lunged at us, but then he started laughing. And we determined he wasn't any kind of a threat. I mean, he was smaller. You know, I don't think we would have had any problems subduing the guy or whatever.
I mean, Scott is massive. You'd have to be a fucking idiot to start on Scott.
But if you stick a knife in someone's kidney, it doesn't matter how big you are.
That's
true.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was wondering, I'm like, this guy falls all the way to the hotel. A couple blocks he broke off. And he went across the street. Kill that motherfucker. I mean, it was real weird. Like I said, he never asked us for money. He never...
Well, he might have done. You just didn't understand him.
Yeah, maybe. Well, all I could think was, this is insanity, right? Because he's having a conversation in his head that probably makes 100% sense.
Yeah.
And we had no idea what's... It's funny because there's a club right next to Reggie's.
There is, yep.
It's a black club, and it's like... people are waiting in line and everybody's dressed to the nines. It's obviously like a place to see or be seen. I told Scott, go wait in line, dude. Come on. See if we can get in. They got like a doorman.
I mean,
it's like the clubs on TV where they have like a doorman standing there. We don't really have that here, you know?
Yeah. Well, people go upstairs to Reggie's to wait for that other place to open. So sometimes if you'll see it's interesting.
Reggie's, that's a pretty mixed crowd. Like we sat up talking to a real nice, you know, black couple upstairs at Reggie's, so it's not like there's... Reggie's isn't exclusively punk rockers and headbangers, although there's a lot of them.
So was the bartender from Cobra Lounge, was he also bartending at Reggie's, or was he just hanging out there?
No, he was running the bar upstairs.
Oh, he was? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, right, that's cool.
And I should have got his name, but yeah, he's a fun guy. He's a cool dude. So, yeah, I mean, almost too cool. Like, I mean, I struggle... like, you give me a menu at a restaurant, it's kind of dark. I'm probably going to have to turn the light out on my phone.
Yep.
And, like, or blow it up with my camera on my phone or something like that. He's wearing sunglasses in the dark. I just... Yeah. But anyway, yeah, that was cool. But, yeah, the city, man, I love the city, but it's a struggle.
It can be a struggle, you're right. It's beautiful in parts, and then it's the people that make it not so much. Yeah, for sure. Okay, you gonna play another Bouncing Souls song from that second night?
Yeah, let's do the first song from How I Spent My Summer Vacation. This is That Song. And if this song doesn't get you moving, the only person on earth who this song doesn't get moving is Greg the Singer. Everyone else who hears the song is going to move their ass.
That's unfortunate.
So yeah, this is Bouncing Souls, That Song.
I put that record on just to make a sound.
Tidy, that was Bouncing Souls with That Song. So do we think that that was that three nights, because they were actually in on Friday too, they played acoustic set somewhere in the city. Do we think that three night Bouncing Souls thing, which they're doing in other cities too, do we think that's the end of their touring? Do we think they're done now, maybe?
I don't think it's the end of their touring, but I think that's what they're going to do, fly in weekends. You know what I mean? It's a lot of bigger bands are doing that now. They're not getting in the van anymore. I think it's too expensive.
Would you go see him again?
No, I think that's probably be it.
Yeah, I was thinking that
too. Here's what I say, Neil. If they came to Grand Rapids, I'd go see him, but I wouldn't put much effort in to go see him again.
I mean, if they were warming up for somebody else, you know, or had a package tour or something, well, I would do it. But.
Or like I said, we don't get a lot of my favorites don't come right to Grand Rapids. If they were playing the Pyramid Scheme, I absolutely would go. But I probably would, but I'm not going to Detroit for it, you know? Or coming back to Chicago for it.
My last question about Bouncing Souls. How much does that Olé song frost your nads?
I don't know. I think it probably bothers you more as a soccer fan, right?
It does. It really does.
I mean, there's nothing to it. It's just a little novelty song.
Well, that whole album is pretty much novelty songs, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of really good ones on there, too.
There's a couple, Night on Earth. There's a couple, more serious songs, but... When I saw Pantera the other day, it was like a month ago or whatever, you know, the guy's like, who's seen Pantera before, you know, and I don't raise my hand because I don't raise my hand for, I'm not your freaking monkey, I'm not raising my hand, but then he's like, who would come and see us again, you know, who's going to come see us again, and all I can think is, nah, I'm good now, you know, I mean, I saw you a bunch of times back in the day, and it's funny, I mean, I'm only 50, I don't plan to quit going to shows anytime soon, I plan to go to shows forever. But I do feel like I'm doing some bookending right now, and that like this might have been my Bouncing Souls bookend, you know, unless it's very convenient, or they are playing a festival I go to, or it falls into my lap, I probably am not going to go far out of my way to see him again.
Like you said, the amount of effort that the guitarist and the bass player put into it, it would have been aces if the singer had been all over the stage too, right? It would have been a completely different show. But unfortunately, that wasn't to be.
So I enjoyed it, but I didn't. Like I said, there was never a. No, it's hard at our age, but when you go to any kind of a show, you always hope that you have a like a like a couple of like transcendent moments, you know,
100%, yep,
where you're just like, wow, it really hit me right in the feels, you know. And, yeah. and I just didn't get that. So it's not you, it's me.
Well, no, it was them. It was them, okay. For sure. It was the singer, for sure. So you stayed over Sunday night and then drove back to Grand Rapids Monday?
Yes. Do you want to talk about... So, our friend Dr. Disc...
Oh, shit, the records? Yeah.
He's always getting records, and I think sometimes he gets them specifically for us, sometimes he just gets stuff, and he's always giving us a ton of records.
Yeah, and the reason he gets records, everybody, if you don't know, he works for Goldmine Magazine, and he reviews record stores. So, because he reviews record stores, the record stores give him swag,
well,
right?
Well, not only that, but I think he's made a lot of friends, you know what I mean? Yep. He's a nice guy, people like him, I think.
Oh,
people,
yeah.
So, and we talk about, like, I have a Pirates Press. Like, I get a lot of Pirates Press stuff. Not all of it, but I get a lot of it for free. But I write about it, you know, and we talk about it, we play it. And I, you know, if I like it, I definitely help support it. But, yeah, he's got just crazy amounts of connections. And I think, I don't know if he just finds stuff right that he thinks we'll enjoy or whatever. But what did... I mean, I don't remember all the stuff I got, but what did you end up getting this last batch from him? I know you saw him a week or so ago. Did you get? I know you got a DOA record that was kind of on my radar.
I got the War on 45 recent repress, which was like that on one side, the original on one side, and then some demos on the other side, which was good.
I think the demos like are the versions with Chuck Biscuits, like the original version, right? With Randy Rampage,
something like that. Yeah, something like that with a different drummer.
That's cool because it's only like got six songs on or something, right? So the original.
Yeah, like, we're eight or something like that.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Yeah. Who's that? That's when I reached for my revolver. Mission of Burma.
Yeah.
I got like a six-track EP from them, which was real. I mean, I listened to it. It's not something I would listen to all the time, but it's good. You know, I certainly can't complain about it.
It's like post-punk. Post-punk.
Early post-punk, yeah.
Does it have that song on it?
Does not, no.
Because that's their big hits were That's When I Reached My Revolver and Academy Fight Song.
Yeah, didn't have either one of those on
it. So I saw them only one time at Riot Fest for a real short period of time, but I heard that song. So they're cool.
Yeah,
from Boston.
Yeah, I saw them at a Riot Fest too. The one thing he gave me, which I really really enjoyed, was, and I'd forgotten how much I like this band, Government Issue. Did you ever listen to much Government Issue?
I have like. So that was a Doctor Strange band, or at least towards the end of their career.
Yep.
So I have like a massive 4-CD thing that literally has everything they ever did.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't have anything on vinyl. Their very first record was on Discord. Their first EP was on Discord in DC. But after that,
Legless Bull. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, they're real cool, and you know, once again, went through a lot of different kind of sounds over the course of 10 years or whatever they were around, but they're cool.
So he gave me the first album, which was Joyride.
Yeah.
So it was a reissue on Dr. Disc, obviously. I'd forgotten how fucking good it is, man.
They're good.
Naked Raygun got a lot of their early sound from Government Issue, I have to say. And they were like sister bands. They loved each other, those two guys, those two bands. But that Government Issue is just excellent.
Yeah, John Stab unfortunately died a few years ago.
He did. Yeah. Let's see what else. I got some 45s. He gave me that recent Minor Threat. Demo outtakes. Yeah, and the B-side is weird. It's got one of those dual groove things where one groove is the songs and another groove is them arguing in the studio as they're recording the song.
Mm.
So it's really weird.
Isn't there like a Munsters or the Addams Family or something like that weird on there? Is it the Addams Family or something they do?
I've only listened to once.
So the first side I think is just pretty straight up.
Yeah. Hold on a second. I'll tell you. So
that's on Discord, obviously.
Yeah, that's on Discord. Hold on. It's called the Out of Step Outtakes.
Hmm.
Addams Family. Yeah, it's got an Addams Family cover, which is great. It's a great song. And what else? Narcoleptic Youth. Do you know that band at all?
I know the name. I don't know that I've ever heard them.
So it was.
Neil got first dibs this time before I did. So he might have got some of the cream of the crop.
Well, I mean, the minor threat one, I could see. I don't know if you'd...
No, it's all right, dude. I got more... Much like yourself, I got more than I could listen to anyway.
I mean, hold on 1 second, okay? Let me go grab... It's just behind me, but just let me grab it a second.
Because I don't have my actual sack either. Like your cat, I don't have my actual sack, so I'm gonna only get to pull a few off the top of my head. And he's back.
So, much like you, there was the cream of the crop, the good stuff that you enjoyed. But yep. Then there was some other stuff, too, which I didn't really... I'd never even heard of before. An early LA band called The Chiefs. But it was...
Holly West Crisis?
Holly West Crisis, yeah. Got that. Yep. I got a weird...
That collection that I inherited, I got that record was in there.
Okay. So I got a weird compilation called What Stuff, which is, like, very early, like... LA stuff again. I think it's got the Dills on it, and I think it's got the Germs.
Are you a fan of those compilations?
Not particularly, but I will listen to this one. It's got it's got the Dills, it's got Chaos with a K, the Pandoras, who went on to become kind of a country band, I think. Then Fake Names, I got the Fake Names album. Which was that supergroup from last year. And then, here's one. Now we're getting into the ones that you definitely wouldn't have wanted. The London Suede double live album.
Gotcha.
The Ocean Blue.
Were they like a Northern Soul kind of thing or something, right?
London Suede? Yeah. No, they're more post-punky than that. Right. But The Ocean Blue is another one, but that's another like...
Never heard of it.
Even though they're from Massachusetts, I think, but they sound like a 90s British Britpop kind of band. So I got stuff like that that you wouldn't have really enjoyed. So I don't know if I got that much stuff that you would have wanted, but it's good stuff though. Thank you, Alan. There's some excellent stuff in there. And now that I know you've actually heard of the Chiefs, I'd never even heard of them before. So I'm going to check that out for sure. What did you get?
I got a bunch of books.
No, you did. And I know you did, right?
He's always got books, which I always appreciate. One of them is like a DOA book. One of them, a picture book, like a photography of DOA. One was crate digging or something. I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't have them in front of me. But the I've been slowly working my way through the stuff. There was a cool D. Crutzen single, one of the later ones, Gone Away, which was after they kind of changed style. But it's really cool, like packaging. It unfolds into like a big cross, white vinyl. There's a bootleg of Don't Cry Wolf, The Damned. Is it Don't Cry Wolf?
Yeah, are you sure it's not? Are you sure it's a bootleg?
Yeah, it's got to be. It's a later reissue, but it's blue vinyl. It's pretty good.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
And then he gave me a 12-inch Damned single for it's called Anything, which I got to tell you, I really enjoyed that. I've been on a bit of a post-punk kick lately, kind of a gothy kick lately, as you'll hear in a minute here when I tell the rest of my story. There was the Echo and the Bunnymen self-titled EP.
It's got some great stuff on that one, yeah.
There was a couple of bands that were big in the 80s that made comeback albums. One of them was the JFA album from a couple years ago, which is called Last Ride. I haven't listened to that yet. And one of them was Love Canal.
Oh, Love Canal, yeah.
Put out a new album a couple years ago, and that's pretty cool. And I don't remember what else. There's tons of... Oh, I ended up with a couple of Fu Manchu records. One you gave me because it wasn't really your cup of tea, and one he gave me. Fu Manchu, the main guy was originally a band called Virulence, like a hardcore band from the 80s, and then they started doing like the stoner rock kind of thing. I dig it. It's not something I listen to every day, but it's cool sound. I don't remember what else, but it's a real cool... I mean, it's you know, it's always fun because I have this bag of stuff to sort of work through now, you know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of let's do it as you can, so...
Now, which Love Canal did he give you? Because they had a classic one from the early 80s called, I think, It's a Dog's Life, So Blow It Out Your Ass.
I have that one, too. I actually got that one from that collection I got from Rob.
Ah, okay.
And I got to tell you, it's one of the most off-center pressed records I've ever seen. I'm afraid it's going to wreck my needle. It literally is like one of those, like the hole is like off-center.
Wow. Okay, yeah.
You ever have one like that?
Yep, I have. Yep.
But anyway, it plays, and it's, so that's, I think that was, they were like one of those National Trust bands from back in the, you know, there was all these little scenes in that LA, you know, like the Southern California scene. It was the hardcore stuff, but I don't remember what else all it was. Oh, there was one that was, and I haven't listened to this yet. I gotta have the house to myself. But there was this one. It's called like Stud Will Travel or something.
And oh, he gave you a porno record.
yeah, and I haven't, like I said, I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. You know, the funny thing is, Neil, I looked it up. It's worth like $40-$50.
Wow. I mean, is it like porno soundtrack music? Is that what
it is? I haven't listened to it yet. My son was laughing at me. He's like, what is that? I was like, is it in a woman's voice at least? And I'm like, I have no idea what it is. I have to wait till I have a house to myself, like when I was a kid listening to Two Live Crew or something.
Now you had to cover up the cover, because the cover is, isn't it someone like them doing doggy style or something?
Yeah, I might offend our shitty waitress.
Yeah. She was pretty shitty, man, but she was...
She's been there forever. I don't remember her being bad before, but anyway, whatever.
Well, normally we have the one with the big fake titties, but...
Yes, and we need her back. Anyway, but yeah, so anyway, I just want to mention that, our pal Dr. Disc, and yeah, it was cool, and like I said, I brought some stuff, we just kind of shared some stuff, and it's fun, it was like a swap meet.
So well, you, cool. Okay, so you brought in a whole shit ton of, like, compilation albums, which me and Dr. Disc split between. Oh, and then which ones did I give you? I gave you a couple.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you too. gave me your extra Dickie Deviant.
Mm-hmm.
Which I haven't got a chance to listen to yet. Dickie Devil and Deviants, which is one of the flimsiest record covers I've ever seen, I gotta say. I know you got yours, we got bad in packaging, so it's sort of bent up, but it's pretty beat up, that one already.
It is, yeah.
But I'm looking forward to listening to that. And you got me the Dropkick Murphys business split from about 2000 or so.
Yeah.
From
Tang.
You were at Tang Records.
Yeah. Tang! Yep, that's right.
The one thing I gave you, and you might never listen to it, but I'm like, I don't know anybody else who will listen to this. I gave Neil an album called Island Bop, which was actually on Pirates Press. I never opened it, but it was this like big band swing ska kind of a thing. You might enjoy it, Neil. I know you're going through your jazz phase, so... you have to check it out.
Yeah, I'll definitely
be listening to that one. I gave you guys some classic comps from back in the day, so everybody's got lots of fun stuff to listen to.
Damn straight we do. Shit, I'm gonna be listening to this for the rest of the year.
It's good. It saves us money buying new records, even though we'll still buy new records.
Yeah, of course we will.
The other thing, I'm still discogging a little bit before I knew the tax situation, so now I gotta take it a little easy, but yeah, so I'll tell you what, Neil, I came home on
Monday.
I came home on Monday, and Scott was ready to tap out. He said, listen, I won't make you eat the ticket, but if you can find somebody else to go with you on Monday, you should do that. So I actually was going to see if my friend Rob, the record guy, wanted to go, but he's got his work situation has changed a little bit, and he wasn't able to go out on a Monday night. And I thought about calling my brother and some of my other friends, but ultimately I'm like, I asked my wife, why don't you come with me? You know, you want a night in the town? I'll throw in dinner or whatever. We didn't end up going to dinner, but we ended up going to see Gary Numan in Frontline Assembly. So I'm going to go ahead and play a Frontline Assembly song now for those people unaware of what this band is. Are you aware of them, Neil, or not really?
I am not. I know the name, but I can't think of a single thing that they've ever done.
Well, I don't know any. It's funny because I really don't know any of their songs either. But you listen to this band, what they were doing in like '86, and Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails should definitely be paying them royalties. So anyway, let's play. I don't know what era this song is. I really am not an expert on this band at all. It's my first time seeing them. I really enjoyed it, but I don't know anything about them. So let's play Frontline Assembly. The song is called Millennium. We'll be right back.
All right, there was Frontline Assembly, who we apparently don't know anything about, and the song was
Well, they're from Millennium. Canada. I know the dude left Skinny Puppy to form that band. You know Skinny Puppy? So if you know Skinny Puppy, it's sort of in that same... It sounds like Twitch-era Ministry.
Okay.
If that makes a difference. And the singer's like a real punk-looking dude. It's not punk music, don't get me wrong. But the thing with this show, Neil, there was a famous club in Grand Rapids long gone now called the Reptile House, mm-hmm. and it was like the goth, wasn't a punk club necessarily, but there was like a lot of great punk shows there. It was the punk goth club. This was like a reunion for that.
Did you recognize people? It was
like
all the
50-year-olds like pulling out their black turtlenecks. Yeah.
Did you recognize people there?
Yeah, quite a few actually.
Okay, so two questions. So. Yep. Did you have tickets to this, or did you decide to go and pay on the door?
So, I had bought the tickets a long, long time ago, which is good, because I probably would have been real tempted to pass on it if
I
had.
Yeah. Okay, and then second question is, did your lovely wife enjoy it?
It took her a little bit to warm up, but I think she did end up enjoying it. It's I don't know that she really cared for Frontline Assembly so much.
Now, which venue was this at?
It was at a place called Elevation, which is at the intersection, downtown GR. There was a lot going on in downtown GR. All our parking spots were taken up by heavy metal fans because Avenged Sevenfold was playing at the hockey rink.
Oh, geez. All right, so how big was this? How many people? 1,000? 2,000?
Well, it's 800.
Okay, so about the same as Bottom Lounge.
And I would say, I don't think it was sold out, but it was pretty crowded. I was kind of afraid it was going to be a dud.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so funny. My wife was, I think, most amused when Gary Numan came on, standing up on the rail kind of above us. There were these guys. They looked like grain salesmen or something. They looked like they would sell John Deere tractors by day or something. Mm-hmm. And they pulled out their black clothes, and they were just having the time of their lives singing along to Gary Numan.
Oh, that's awesome, Dillard.
So it was good people watching. There was definitely... There wasn't as many kind of... It was just mostly, like, semi-retired goths, you know? But there was a couple of, like, cross-dressers that were really over the top.
Now, the funny thing is, Gary Numan, I mean, Two Boy Army, they was normal... I wouldn't say it was goth. It was science fiction, post-punk kind of thing. There wasn't a... It's not very dark. It's a whole different... He envisions a whole different world, you know, run over by robots and stuff. It's very sci-fi.
Apparently, he still appeals to that goth crowd, because I definitely got that impression. And my first impressions of him were, A, it sounded great. He had a great band, even though it started out pretty standard. He had a great light show, like better than average light show. Mm-hmm. It was like Tron or something. I don't know what was going on.
Did he have those pyramids that he sometimes performed?
No, he didn't have the pyramids, but he was just kind of doing a normal show. But there were some strange moments, like the bass player and the guitar player look sort of the same. They both have shaved heads and have this like thing on their forehead or something. I don't know what. And at one point, the guitar player like was giving the bass player a reach around and maybe like kissing his neck or something. There was definitely some weird like homoeroticism. I don't know exactly what was going on, but Gary Newman started out fairly normal. He's got like his choker on, and like his left arm had like a leather strap sort of wrapped around it in like a decorative way. And then about halfway through, it goes from a normal rock show to he's like doing the closest thing I could call it, Neil, is that he was doing like interpretive dance.
Oh boy. Oh dear.
He had his hands above his head, and he was just like, it was strange, but it was very entertaining. And I didn't know the songs, but I still enjoyed it. And it's always kind of tricky, you know.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think my wife enjoyed it too. Did it blow my mind once again? Not really, but it was good. I'm glad I got to see it. You know, those two bands are both on tour with Ministry, but the whole package, for whatever reason, didn't come to Grand Rapids. So it was an off day for them. So they came, played Grand Rapids. I think they're in Detroit. I think they were in Detroit the next day or something.
I mean, just to show you how much the... Okay, so everybody knows Gary Numan from the song Cars, from the Pleasure yes. Principle, his first solo record. Yep. And in England, his previous band, Two Boy Army, had a number one hit with Our Friends Electric. So that's 79, 80. Most people know those songs. So obviously that's 44 years ago. So
well, Cars had to be, 80 or 81, right? I mean, it was really early.
79, the album came out. So that song was actually out in 79. Believe
wow.
It might not have hit the U.S. till 80, 81.
That's funny because it's like the definitive, it's like a definitive 80s song. I would have never guessed that it came out in the 80s. Or in the 70s.
But the funny thing is, I mean, that is, 44 years ago. He's released so many records since then. In fact, looking at his discogs right now, he has 275 entries in his album section.
Wow.
Now, a lot of those are obviously live albums or whatever, but...
King Biscuit Flower Hour.
275? 205 releases. I apologize.
Yeah, it's 80, a lot of singles and stuff.
81 albums.
Come on.
98 singles.
Well, and he's got a new album. He's touring behind a new album. It's called Intruder.
Well, there you go.
Intruder. And
Intruder Alert. Stranger Danger.
Interesting, of course he had t-shirts.
How much were the t-shirts?
$40.
Okay. That was about what I would expect, yeah.
But that's like arena prices, isn't it? That's not... I think you get warped with the punk prices. Bouncy Souls t-shirts were $30. Bouncing Souls knew their crowd. They had 3X in all their designs.
There you go.
They were 30, and their records were 30, which I think that's just the new reality, is 30, which would be fine if there wasn't anything that I needed. I don't think they had any cool variants or anything, you know?
Well, so, like I said, Twin Temple t-shirts were $45. But I just had one of my friends at work, Maggie. Hey Maggie. She just took her kid... Molly, to see... Have you heard this country star, this new country, young country star that all the girls are going crazy for called Zach Bryan?
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Anyway, she took...
I don't know. I know Zach Brown and Luke Bryan. It sounds like he's just taking two generic country names and sticking together.
Well, this is Zach Bryan. Apparently, he's very popular because he played two nights at United Center. And apparently...
Wow! United Center's like... Well, that's where the Bulls play, right? That's 20,000 at least.
Yeah. So I asked her, take note of how much the t-shirts and stuff. The t-shirts were $50, the sweatshirts were $90.
Wow.
So that's how much you're paying for that stuff at a star. I don't even know if it's a huge star. I guess he is, because he played two nights at United Center.
Yeah.
So Zach Bryan, $50.
But he's not
$50
playing
bucks.
Soldier Field, I guess.
So, it was because of the wind, because of the weather. If the weather was better, he probably would have been playing.
Gary Newman had some interesting. So I think the records were 35. I want to say the signed records were 55 or something.
Oh, that's not bad actually. I'd have done that.
The thing I was most there was a few. There were Gary Newman air fresheners.
Oh, what?
That said something like Gary Newman's in my car or something like that.
Oh, it's playing on the whole car thing.
License plate rings. They were definitely playing the Cars thing up. The thing I was most tempted to buy, but I didn't because I was feeling cheap. He did have his signed biography for $35, which probably isn't a terrible price.
That might be interesting actually, because he's an interesting dude. He suffers from horrible. If it's depression or ADD or something. I know he's got something a bit mental with him, and he's also...
He beat it with interpretive dance.
He also flies planes.
Really?
Which is interesting. Yeah, he's a
pilot.
Well,
that's what I want to be in a... I want to be riding a plane with a guy who's chronically depressed. Oh, today's not today.
It might not be depression, but it's something. He has some kind of mental disorder, Asperger's or some shit. I don't know what it is.
We had a spirited discussion at lunch between you, me, and Scott, maybe Alan too, or Dr. Dis too, I don't remember, about whether or not I was a believer that Gary Newman was using the Glenn Danzig shoe polish look for his hair, where you and Scott, I believe Scott thought it was a hat, and you agreed with
it. I think it's a wig. I think it's a horrible
so
wig.
So my wife took one look at it. I said, hey, we're having a discussion. My wife took one look at it and goes, oh, yeah, that's a wig. I guess you guys win. But yeah, he dressed like, he's wearing like a black tunic. He was a weird dude. But yeah, it was a good show. And you know, to his benefit, he played Cars about 1 hour in.
Didn't make his face till the end.
Yeah. We left after like 75 minutes. He was still playing. I don't know how long he was going to play, But I looked at my wife and said, we can get out of here if you want. She's like, are you sure? I'm like, it's been a long freaking weekend. Like, I'm sure she was ready to go too, but she was willing to, you know. I'm like, no, it's cool. I enjoyed it. We had a nice time. And so we called it a night. And
he is 66 years old.
Yeah. But he's good. He's a good performer, man. I would recommend him if he came to town, check it out. I, like I said, that ministry tour would be real cool too. But
I'd have gone to that. But yeah, I don't really care for ministry, and I don't care for the Aragon too much, and especially because he's only warming up, so he'll probably only play for like 40 minutes or something.
I think he was getting a pretty good set. I mean, even like closer to an hour. But yeah. It is nice because obviously he got to stretch out his set. I'm sure Frontline Assembly is only getting a half hour on the
right.
They got about 45 minutes, which is about right. You don't want to probably don't. I didn't know the songs. I didn't really need much more than that.
I do remember when that Intruder album came out in 2021, and he's listed as industrial. So there you go.
Definitely. I mean, once again, you listen to it, you go, oh yeah, you can definitely hear the influence.
Yeah. But I can remember when that Intruder album came out, and I'm like, oh, cool, I haven't listened to anything new for 40 years, so I'll try this album. And I have to admit, it did not grab me at all. It was all very, very gray, very all the songs sounded kind of the same. So it was, it wasn't for me.
Like I said, anyway, it was different. I was a little out of my... You know, I'm trying to be a little.
Well, that's good. That's good. You're a bit. Right? You were a bit out of your comfort zone. I'm actually very impressed that you went to that. I think that's great.
Well, and you know, once again, I got a show in a couple weeks. I'm going to see Less Than Jake and Strung Out and The Raging Nathan. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that'd be cool. Where's that?
Go see Josh. That's Pyramid's the intersection game? In the big room.
Oh, really?
That's like a 1,500 person room. I don't know how many people will be there.
So less than Jake.
I'm envisioning that I'll be able to push up front for Raging Nathan still, yeah, but I'd we'll see. So. Maybe not. It's like I said, it's a big room.
So Less Than Jake, a shitty fucking ska band, is drawing 1,500 people.
I have no idea what they're drawing. The thing is, too, I have a reputation to uphold being thrifty, so I actually did get all these tickets at like a reduced rate. Well, that's why they were doing a bunch of promo stuff for Gary Numan. That's why I was afraid they weren't going to have a real good crowd there. I think I got them like 2 for 1, but they were they weren't super cheap tickets. I think my tickets were still ended up being like 25 a piece with fees and all that. Mm-hmm. I think I got my Less Than Jake tickets for like, on like a New Year promo for like 2024 or something like that. But they start out about 30, 35, most of them.
I'm guessing you're going to pull a Neil in that show and leave like when the opening, when Less Than Jake comes on.
I don't know about that because I'll be there with Scott and Chad, and we'll probably, have some fun before and after. I don't know.
As soon as they break out the horns and the trumpets, you'll be on your toes.
You know, the thing is, they definitely have a few songs I enjoy, but no, a couple.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Because April's real slow.
Yeah, April's pretty slow. That's true.
Which is okay. I'm going on vacation for a week. And that I was looking today, they totally off topic, but Descendants of Circle Jerks just dropped a split 7-inch today.
I saw that. What the fuck is that about?
I think Descendants do 3 Circle Jerk songs, and the Circle Jerks do 2 Descendants songs or something.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. It's on Trust, which is interesting because this is the first thing Trust has put out that's not a reissue. It's brand new. All new stuff. But anyway.
Well, it's brand new, but it's old cover songs. I mean, geez.
Yeah. It's a tour promo thing.
Yeah.
I love Trust Records. I've been a big fan. I went on there and I added to the cart the Youth Brigade
Sound of Fury
album, yep. Which is like $25. And then I added that 7-inch, which is $12. The $12 7-inch. Oh, it kills me, man. So I got like, I don't know, $37 worth of stuff in there, whatever. It lets you preview your shipping. Shipping was like $15 or $16. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
For one album?
Jesus. For an album and a 7-inch.
Yeah, but a 7-inch, you just throw that in the package.
That's the problem. It's like, that's why Amazon kills all these people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was too much. And I'd really rather support the label, or I could probably get it at my local record shop. Hopefully, I'm gonna I think Saturday I'm going to go to a movie with my son or sons, and I'll walk over there and see what Herm's up to at Vertigo, see what I can get.
Dude, I tell you what, let's play a Gary Newman song and then just, well, no, let's talk about movies. Just, I tried watching, have you seen Oppenheimer?
I thought about watching it, but I got to tell you, I was yesterday, my wife was upstairs or whatever, and I was sitting down there by myself, and I about clicked on it, and I opted for, like, a cheesy horror titty flick instead.
I think that was probably a good decision, because I had to turn it off after a half hour. I thought it was absolutely
dog shit. There was a lot of nudity in this one I picked, too, I gotta tell you.
Oh, that sounds much better, because this was dog shit. It was dog shit slow, and I couldn't figure out what the fuck was going on. It was not good.
I probably would like to watch it at one point, but it's very long. Oh, you know this movie I watched, Neil? It's claim to fame. It was the last movie David Carradine ever made.
Oh shit! Did
and the funny thing is,
did Glenn Danzig do it?
In the movie, he hangs himself.
Oh dear!
Oops! Foreshadowing.
While he's wanking.
No. Not that I could tell. If he'd had all those topless bras that show up later, maybe. Yeah. Anyway.
Again, it sounds like a Glenn Danzig movie.
I've been on a real kick of, like, punk-ish movies.
Okay.
Not even. I don't even know if you could say punk-ish. But I recently watched Romper Stomper, which I really enjoyed. Had a lot of great, like, skinhead songs.
Skinhead, even though it had a lot of
Nazi stuff, which... Yeah, I can't endorse. Obviously, I'm already a fascist. And then I watched Class of Nukem High, which had a lot of punk elements, and I watched Class of 1984, which had a bunch of punk elements. And then last, I tried to watch Surf Nazis Must Die.
Oh yeah, I saw that when it came out. Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yep, I saw that. I might have been
seeing no redeeming value. It's not even funny. I mean, it just sucks. Yeah. So anyway, you can't win them all. Sorry, Lloyd Kaufman. I thought Surf Nazis Must Die sucked.
Yeah. I was at a party in 86 with the shitty guys, and I remember we were talking about that movie, and there was some German guy at the party, and he got very upset that we said Surf Nazis. He was ready to fight about the term Nazis. Very weird.
Hmm. Well,
yeah.
I'd fight if you tried to make me watch it again.
I'd fight if you made me watch Oppenheimer again. Jesus.
Well, I might watch Oppenheimer. I mean, last year was all about Oppenheimer and Barbie. And did you watch Barbie?
No, fuck off, no.
I did watch Barbie. And I got to tell you, my son, who's a movie buff, really wanted me to watch, my older son. And I enjoyed, like, the first 75% of it, but I do kind of think the ending was stupid. And everybody's like, oh, the ending, man, it's transcendent. I'm like, nah, it's she went to a gynecologist, but she grew a vagina. I mean... Instead of her plastic vagina, I mean, maybe.
Oh, now you've ruined it for me. You spoiler maybe alert!
Neil,
spoiler
let me tell you alert, something, dude. I'm not ruining anything. Maybe I'm being obtuse, but I thought the ending was kind of lame.
Well, I'm not going to watch it, so that's fine.
Well, and listen, I know what happens at the end of Oppenheimer.
Yeah, right.
I had world history in middle school.
Well, I can't. I wouldn't be. I could, like I said, I couldn't make it beyond 30 minutes. It was just fucking dreadful. He won best actor, didn't he? Best actor.
So you heard. I love Cillian Murphy though. I think he's great. I love the first few seasons of Peaky Blinders was so good.
The first few were great, and then it got too fucking politically correct.
After Polly died,
fucking awful.
After Polly died, it never recovered. Well, they killed him off, right? Or it looked like they killed him off. After that, when he came back, it was stupid. It was never good again.
Yep. And they're making a full feature-length movie.
Are they? Because I couldn't make it through that last season. I just couldn't do it.
The last two seasons were brutal. Yeah.
I made it the second last one. I just could not make the last one. Anyway, you heard it here first. So, all right. Listen, let's let people off the hook here.
Well, let's play some Gary Newman songs. You wanted to play Cars, which I don't think everyone knows that.
We should play it anyway. Maybe some people don't know it.
Okay. So we're gonna do a twofer here then.
Doubleheader.
Tom's gonna play Cars because
literally the only song I knew all night.
That's all he knows. And I am gonna play off of the first Two Boy Army album, Replicas. I am gonna play Down in the Park, which any of you that know that, it's a fucking classic. So yep. Gary Newman, Cars, and Two Boy Army, Down in the Park. There you go. That was your Gary Numan twosome. Gruesome twosome, Cars and Down in the Park. And Gary, please don't sue us for playing Cars, you know. Right, Tom? Tom, are you still there, Tom?
I don't know. I hear you yelling downstairs.
Oh, dear. Wow. We might have to break this off then.
Probably my wife and daughter.
Oh, boy.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. So that was our weekend of fun. I had 3 gigs in 4 nights. Tom had 4 gigs in 4 nights.
Yeah, so don't give me your 30-year-old can't go out on a Tuesday night crap.
Right. Yeah, the guys in the bathroom. Oh, my legs hurt. It's so late. Oh, fuck off, wankers.
You know, the funniest point of the evening of the whole weekend might have been on Sunday when I was at bouncing school. I was like, go to the toilet. I'm like, oh man, stinks. And here somebody's just, and I go by the door of the stall, and there's this guy just sitting there, door wide open, fully clothed, you know, not pants on or anything, just sitting on the toilet, just smoking this joint the size of like a baby's or like a thumb. I mean, it was like the most amazing joint. So I go in the handicap stall in the end, taking a piss, because there was like too many people at the urinals. I would have had like squeezed in between them. So I just, I'm pissing in the handicap stall, and I hear the bouncer print, all right, that's it. You're out of here. Throw that in the toilet. I know you didn't throw that in the toilet. I need you to throw that, you know. And eventually they drag him out, and I came out and I tell the story to Scott and the Southside boys who were standing there. And Scott's like, oh yeah, we saw that when the bouncers were dragging him out. They accidentally threw the guy into Big Jeff, who was one of the Southside guys, and he almost punched him out. I'm like, oh yeah. That pretty much sums up the weekend, dude.
Yeah, take that, you fucking backwards baseball hat wearing hippie. Fuck off.
He's wearing his scally cap.
Well, knock that off too, you fucking wanker.
No, my Big Jeff was.
Big Jeff was. Southside, yeah, there you go.
Southside guys are always wearing their scally caps.
There we go. Yeah, good.
Anyway, thanks. All right. Well, listen, thanks for listening, everybody. PunkDiet977 at Gmail, PunkDiet Facebook group, and all that stuff. So
it's funny, as we're talking and saying our goodbyes, I'm actually buying an album by the Skids on Discogs right this
week. There you go.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Talked about at a later date.
Yep. Keep a little Marcus in your heartus and stay free. Yeah. And we will smell you later. Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye bye.
See ya.
Okay. That brings us to the end of another show. Hope you enjoyed it. Remember, keep a little mark in your heart. And we'll be back the same mark time, same mark channel.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Ah, ha, ha. If I get the feeling you've been cheated, good night.
What a fucking rotter.
What a load of old shit.
Thank you, fuck you, bye, boom.
Okay.